Proverbs chapter 11, and thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Woke up this morning to some rain on the ground, and that's been a little bit, and so that's a blessing to have the rain from the Lord. And there's a lot going on, so thank you for being in church. This is Valentine's weekend coming up. All right, so husbands, don't mess this one up, all right? If she says she doesn't want anything, it's a trap, all right? You get the card anyway. She says, I don't like flowers. You get her flowers anyway. Chocolates. All right, let's take a vote, all right? I'm going to help you out, guys. How many of you ladies, if you had to choose between flowers or chocolates, all right, how many of you would choose the flowers? Raise your hand. There's quite a few. How many say, if I had to pick one, it'd be the chocolate? The honest ones, all right? You can't eat the flowers, right? Yeah, I guess you could. If they're edible flowers, I don't know. I'd rather do the chocolates, personally, all right? Make a nice dinner, take her out, do something special, get her a gift, make Valentine's Day special for your spouse. That's husbands and wives. Make it a special time. You say, but it's just a commercialized holiday. I get it, all right? I read it's like the second most expensive holiday behind Christmas. And so all the gifts and all that. But do something special. You say, well, it's just a holiday. I know that. But make your spouse feel special for at least one day. The rest of the year would be good too, but at least for the one day. No, but that's good. It's also Super Bowl Sunday. How many of you couldn't care less, all right? And I know. I'm there as well, right? Brother Justin, I'm there. Like, forget. I don't even care. But yeah, I'm done too. All right, but I gotta read you this. I lied, it wasn't Valentine's Day. Super Bowl Sunday is the second largest food holiday in the United States, second only to Thanksgiving. Second most food, right? Because the game is really about what are you going to eat. Let's be honest, that's what most gatherings are about anyway. What's to eat, and there's a reason to get together. Super Bowl Sunday is the most popular day of the year to order takeout. 1 in 7 Americans order takeout on Super Bowl Sunday. If you order a pizza, you better get it at least 2 hours early or it's not going to happen. 60% of those orders are pizza, so they're gonna work overtime. The top most popular Super Bowl foods is pizza and chicken wings. You got it. Pizza and chicken wings. Are you getting hungry just talking about this? I am. You see, it's too early for pizza. I don't think so. All right? I think it's good. Veggies are a popular dippable snack, but the most popular dippable snack is potato chips. 11.2 million pounds of potato chips will be munched and dipped on Super Bowl Sunday. 8.2 million pounds of potato chips. That's a whole lot. Nearly 14 billion burgers will be grilled up. I don't know who's counting these, but I'm getting hungry, so we're going to get off the topic there. Either way, don't skip church for the Super Bowl. It's not worth it. Record it or just hope that they both lose. That's what I'm going for. As a bitter 49ers fan, that's where I'm at. I just don't want to see the Seahawks win in our stadium. So maybe you don't care, but I do. All right. 11. I faked you out on that. Sorry. Proverbs 11 and verse number 30. Looking at our basic training lessons, and today is about the subject of soul winning. Soul winning, telling people about Jesus Christ, being a witness. You could say it in a number of different ways, but being a soul winner. Where do we get this term from? In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30, the Bible says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." He that winneth souls. Now, do we do the winning? No. Do we do the saving? No. But we are the ones that God has chosen to point people to the Lord, to give the gospel, tell them about the Savior. That is the part that God gives for us. Why don't we begin with a word of prayer? We thank you, Lord, for this blessed day. Thank you for the word of God, for the foundation and the truths from God's word to build our life upon. May we continually build our life upon you, Lord. We do love you. Thank you for the day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We talked about the subjects of basic training. First of all, salvation. Do you know 100% sure that when you die, heaven will be your home? You say, well, can people really know that? Yes, based on the Word of God. The Bible says that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, you don't know it because of your religion. You don't know it because of your works or your experiences. You know it based on the Word of God. That's confidence in Him, not confidence in yourself. Sometimes people think that's arrogant that you say, I know I'm going to heaven. Based on the Word of God, according to what God says, I know I'm going to heaven. Do you know that you're saved? Then second of all, prayer. Have you spent time in prayer with the Lord? It's the avenue that God opens up of communication to God, where you can stop and pray to God anytime, anywhere, about anything. Pray without ceasing. Spend time talking with God every single day. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear from you. And so understand the subject of prayer. And then the Bible. What a privilege, what a blessing it is to have the Word of God in our language. You know, much of the world does not have much or any of the Bible in their language at all. We are so blessed and so privileged in our country that we don't even comprehend that you go to other countries and they have no Bible or they do not have a good translation of the Bible. How sad is that? But we get to hold in our hands the very Word of God, use it, treasure it, read it, memorize it, obey it, put the Word of God into your life. Listen to it and allow God to change your life. Last week we learned on the subject of the church that Jesus Christ loved the church and He gave Himself for it. If Jesus loves the church, so should we. The church is more than buildings. It's the people that Jesus died to pay for our sins. That God instituted the church. Jesus said, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Build your life on the Word of God and in church. Amen. Build your life in church. It should be a regular occurrence. It should be so scheduled that our cars automatically drive to church Sunday morning. Now, if you're one of those people that you have the Tesla, I'm not a fan of this. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. People that get in their cars and they go and sleep for a couple hours while their car drives them somewhere, or they have to nudge it every once in a while. I'm not for that, okay? Right? I don't want robots taking over the world. And so... I don't know how much I trust the humans driving as well, but I don't know about the person sleeping behind the vehicle either. And so, but build your life on the Word of God and in church. The instruction that God gives to us from the Word of God. And then today, the subject of soul winning. Soul winning. Well, I'm going to give you a couple of introductory thoughts and then read some passages today about the subject of soul winning. Again, soul winning is for a Christian that knows that they're saved, you're a child of God, you know that you're going to heaven. God has given you a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every single person has the same command from God to tell others about Jesus Christ. Many times, here's what we do though. We come to the Word of God and we give ourselves excuses why that verse doesn't apply to me. We better be careful with that, that people come to the Word of God and say, that verse isn't for me and that one's not for me, that command isn't for me. Common excuses about soul winning, how me as a child of God, how we try to say, well, this subject of telling others about Jesus, pointing them to heaven, doesn't have to do with my responsibilities. So here's some common excuses. First is this, I don't have the gift of soul winning. God didn't give me that gift. You know, that's not one of the gifts given in the Word of God about soul winning. I know some people have the gift of speaking. A lot. Some people have the gift of saying the wrong things, but the gift of soul winning. It's not a gift of soul winning that God gave it to some and not to others. See, that's an excuse where Jesus went to the disciples and said, to go ye, all the disciples, all the saved, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Soul winning isn't about a gift, it's about a command. The next is this, the command is for others to go, not me. It's for others. It's for people that are, it's pastors, church staff, someone that has a Bible college training, someone that grew up in a Christian home. The command is for others to go tell people about Jesus, not for me. And we want to label, well, that's, pastor, that's your job to tell people about Jesus, not for mine. No, that's not the truth. That's an excuse, all right? Here's another one. This is probably one of the most common excuses. I'm shy, I'm not an outgoing person. It's probably the most common one. I'm not an outgoing person. Guess what? Neither am I. right? That's an excuse. Well, and you know what that has to do with my feelings, right? Well, I don't feel like it. You know, I felt shy or I was upset or, you know, it was in public. I'm shy. I'm not an outgoing person. Soul winning is not about a personality type. It's not about what I feel. It's about a command. Another one is this. Well, I had a bad experience out soul winning once. If you've ever been out soul winning, especially knocking on doors, you've had a bad experience at some point. Guaranteed. You knock on doors and the dogs start barking and people start yelling and, you know, slam the door in your face. That happens. It does. But it doesn't change the fact that it's still the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I was out with Brother James yesterday and we were out knocking on doors and man, no one was answering. No one was answering the doors. And Brother James talked to one person. I got to the first person I talked to, they were out front of their house, and they were as hungover as I've seen someone in the longest time. It was bad. I was worried for them, honestly. You know, they were outside, and I gave them a track, and I wasn't going to try to witness anymore due to the situation. And someone else came out and was like, wow, that was interesting. You know, we were knocking on doors, and no one was answering. Finally, we get to, we're going to a door, and a lady comes walking down the street, and I went, well, there's a person. And so I kind of hung out there and walked towards a lady and gave her a track, and she said, I've been looking for a church. Praise the Lord. The Lord sent someone by our way as we went knocking on doors where no one was there. You have a bad experience. At some point, you're going to have a bad experience. But it's not about my experiences and my feelings that I got my feelings hurt. There's been some times where I've gotten my feelings hurt, and there's some times where I wanted to hurt someone else's feelings because of what they say and do. And I think times out teen soul winning and people say stuff. I'm like, there's kids here, okay? You know, that's not appropriate for anyone, but there's a kid here. Have some decency. A lot of people lost their decency in this world today. My goodness. I had a bad experience. Another one is this. I'm too busy. I'm working all the time, and I've got errands, and I've got kids, and life is busy. I get it. Life is busy. Is there anything more important in a daily schedule than to stop and to tell someone about the Lord? If we're too busy to point someone to heaven, we're just too busy. I told people at the soul winning meeting yesterday, we were out at the park the other day. It was beautiful. Friday, it was around lunchtime, and we were coming home, and I thought, we need to get a burger. You know, a hamburger, that sounds good. I must be hungry today because my mind keeps going back to that. I'm sorry. I'm going to ruin your day talking about food. We went by In-N-Out and went to go get a burger, and I went to the window to pay, and as she, I think was giving my card back or whatever, and I gave her a track, and I said, I want to invite you to Shasta Baptist Church. And she looks and she said, oh my goodness, are you Mark Becker? And I said, yes. I don't know who she is. I've never seen her before. And I said, yes. And I was like, do I know you? And she goes, no, I just saw the name on the track. And I went, praise the Lord. So maybe she'll come. I'm not sure. But you're too busy. You know, I'm paying the bills. I'm driving the kids or whatever. We have a lot of busy things going on in life, but are we too busy to stop and say, could you read this? Take a gospel track with you. We have tracks in our track rack out there, and we have tracks in English and Spanish for the buses. We have a little heaven track. It's a bifold track that goes through a little more explanation of the plan of salvation. Take those with you and pass them out everywhere that you go. Invite people, tell people about the Lord. You're not too busy to say, could you read this when you get a minute? You know how many people have gotten saved by simply just taking a gospel track and reading it? Someone leaves it on their door. Someone drops it on the ground and someone picks it up. Too busy. Another one is this. I don't understand enough to tell another person how to go to heaven. Say, I don't know enough how to tell someone how to go to heaven. If you know that you're saved, you know enough how to tell someone else how to be saved. You have the witness inside of you, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. You know why? Because everyone gets saved the same way. Now, you may not have all the answers, and guess what? Neither do I. There's times you talk, can I ask you a question? I go, oh man, I hope I have an answer. And Lord help me. And sometimes the answer is, I don't know. Can I get back to you on that one? Salvation is really simple and clear. We'll get to that later on. I don't understand enough to tell another person. This last one is, I don't know what verses to use. And that's why a gospel tract. invitation. It has the verses on the back that you could simply read through those and tell someone how to go to heaven and go verse by verse through the Word of God. I'm not trying to give you a hard time, but none of those excuses will matter in eternity. None of those will hold up when you stand before the Lord and maybe someone that's being sent to hell and you're going to heaven and they thought, you were my neighbor. You worked with me. You know, you were my cousin or sibling or parent or child and you never told me how to go to heaven. And they'll go to hell for all eternity. None of those excuses will matter and none of those will stand up the test of time. Wouldn't that be a sad excuse to say, well, I was just too busy to walk across the street, to go to the cubicle next to me, to pray for someone, to write a letter, to send a note, something, and tell them how to be saved. Now, we don't do the saving. God does the saving, but God uses your feet, your hands, your mouth to tell others how to be saved. Romans chapter 10 says, how will they hear without a preacher? How will they hear without someone telling them? In eternity, no one's going to say, I wish I went to the lake more often. No, I'm all for the lake. It's beautiful. No one's going to say, well, I wish I played more and I wish I made more money and I took more time for me. The me mentality is killing our country. It is. It's killing homes, killing, you know, it's all about me, the selfishness of life. It needs to be about the Lord, first of all, and about others. I want to ask you to turn over to Ezekiel chapter 33. I'm kind of giving you a challenge here, first of all, because I can give you some details on how to tell someone how to go to heaven, but if you don't get the urgency and the need, the rest of it's not going to matter. Ezekiel chapter 33, this is a challenge here given about warning, about witnessing. Ezekiel 33, verse number 1, I'll read down to verse number 9. If you haven't found it yet, before the book of Daniel, if that helps you at all, after Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, maybe you're more confused. Anyway, Ezekiel 33 and verse number 1, it says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. That's another word for a soul winner, a watchman. So if the sword's going to come, if someone's going to come to destroy the land, it says set up someone to be that Paul Revere. The British are coming. The British are coming. Go and warn everyone. Tell them. In verse number 3, it says, if when he, the watchman, seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. So what is his job? Stay in his station when the enemy comes to blow the trumpet and say the enemy is coming. Not a difficult task. It doesn't have to be a beautiful tune. He's got to be watchful. He's got to pay attention and just blow the trumpet. Warn the people. Verse number 4, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. So the watchman sees the enemy coming, blows the trumpet, and if people hear the trumpet and they go, go back to sleep. Maybe he's just practicing, whatever excuse they could have, and they don't listen. If the sword come and he dies, he had been warned. Verse number 5, it says, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. The person that listens can save themselves, protect themselves. Verse number 6, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require. What does it say? At the watchman's hand. If he sees the sword come and go, I'm sure it's not the enemy. You know, I'm sure everyone else saw them coming, and he doesn't do his job just to simply blow that trumpet and warn. Then the Bible says the blood of those that were killed is upon the watchman's hands. Verse number 7, it says this. So now that brings this challenge back home. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. God has set each and every one of us up as a watchman. As a watchman. Again, your neighborhood, your workplace, your family, where God has placed you in Redding, California, or whatever city it is exactly that you live in. God has set you up as a watchman that we're watching. We're watching. Jesus Christ is coming soon. People are dying and going into eternity every single day. And it's our job to blow the trumpet. Tell them about heaven and hell and sin and the destruction to come. Do you see the urgency that each saved person, each person on their way to heaven, is that watchman that God has set you up to set the warning? I want to give you a few commands and then some practical instruction here at the end of the message. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. I want to give you a few commands about the subject of being a soul winner. Matthew 28, first book of the New Testament, and verse number 18. This is the last command that Jesus gave to the disciples before he went to heaven. People's last words are very important. The challenge they give, the love they give, the instructions they give, and the last words that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples, of all the teaching that he gave them, this is the last one he wanted to remind them about. In Matthew 28, verse number 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then he says this, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. He said, I want you to take what you've been given and go into all the world. If you go into the book of Acts, which would follow the four Gospels, and you see the disciples that they're given that command, they go to that upper room and they stay there until they get that power from on high. And in Acts chapter 2, and you see that showing of Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon God's people as they preached the gospel and people heard the gospel in their own language. So the gospel, first of all, came to the Jews. But now in the book of Acts, it's being spread to the Gentiles. And if you're not Jewish by heritage, by your ethnicity, as Gentiles, the gospel was spread in the book of Acts around the world. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? That the disciples took the instruction that Jesus gave them very simply, very real, and they took the word of God to all the world. In Acts 1:8, Jesus would give them a command. He says, I'm going to turn there actually, if you'd like to turn there as well. Acts chapter 1, very similar verse to what we just read in Matthew chapter 28. In Acts 1:8, Jesus gives them some specifics about going into all the world. And Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Remember, Jesus said, he says, when I leave, I'll leave the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, I'll leave to dwell with you. What a blessed promise that God gave us. And he says, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said, I want you to take the gospel right where you are in Jerusalem. That's where they were at this time. They're in Jerusalem. And then to take the gospel from there and go to Judea and spread it out from there. And then to Samaria and then unto the uttermost part of the earth, the Bible says. To take the gospel, see the command that God has given to you to give the gospel right where you are. To tell someone about the Savior and see the gospel spread throughout the whole world. I want to challenge you with this, church. See the command
to go. Do you understand that, church? Every saved person, that we have a command to go. Not to wait for them to come to us, but there's an action needed with go. There's work that's needed to be done. The command to go. At Shasta Baptist Church, we have several organized soul winning times. Saturday morning is our regular soul winning time at 9:30 in the morning. We meet right here in our home builder's room, and we meet and we sing and we pray, get a brief soul winning challenge. We pair up and we go throughout the city, and we go knocking on doors and visiting people and telling people about the Lord every single week. Tuesday nights, we have a men's soul winning time at 6:30. Teens have a soul winning time Wednesday evening, afternoon at 3:30. Why? Because we want to make big of the Great Commission to get the Word of God out to all the world. If you haven't noticed yet, all of Reading is not saved. All of Reading is not on their way to heaven. Now, I don't know everyone's personal testimony, but I can guarantee you that. There's people all around looking for a church, looking for a Savior, looking for the truth of the Word of God, and just ready for someone to tell them. Well, many times we sit at home while we hide the truth and we don't go and we don't tell. You got to see the command to go, and the Bible says, into all the world. Well, where does that start? Right here where you live, right here where you are. And then it spreads out from there. Now, that's where our missions giving goes as well. Now, I'm not in Thailand and Israel and Brazil and Africa. I don't know all the languages, all right? But we support missionaries all around the world. Almost 100 missionaries that we support. Why? Because it's our duty and our purpose to reach right here where we are and to get the gospel all around the world. We must see the command to go. Number two, we must see the need of the world. Turn to John chapter 4, if you turn back a book here. In John chapter number 4, in verse number 35, we must not only see the need to go, but the command to go, but we must see the need of the world. In John chapter 4, in verse number 35, the Bible says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." The harvest here is talking about the end of the world, talking about maybe your last opportunity on this earth to tell someone. There's a timing of harvest, okay? Now, I've never harvested personally. I planted a harvest, and I'm not a farmer by nature, by trade. But the harvest, you plant, but there's a time that harvest comes in or it's wasted. It falls to the ground, and it's of no use. It says, "Say not ye, there 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." This isn't talking about harvesting food specifically. It's talking about souls. It's talking about people. You ever go to the airport or Costco or Walmart? You go into a crowded area. Do you ever just stop and look around? Now, maybe you get your shopping cart and you're like, "I'm going to run someone over if they get in my way." Out of my way, here I go. Do you ever stop and look around and think, you driving through a busy city, look around and think, those are souls. Those are people that are going to spend eternity somewhere. Do you ever just stop and look around and think, I wonder if they're going to heaven or hell. I wonder if everyone's told them. I wonder if anyone's praying for them. I wonder if everyone's been a witness to them. You ever look around and just see the need of the world? I forget exactly the number, but I think it's about three people every second are going into eternity. 3, 6, 9, 12, and you could just keep counting. 3 people every second going into eternity. The Bible says, "Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Many are going to hell. The Bible says hell hath enlarged itself. It's getting bigger. More people are going to hell. But I want you to see the need. The Bible says, look on the fields, look around, look at souls, look at people in their faces, not just on your phone. We were out the other day and we were getting a bite to eat somewhere and there was 3 people at a table. And what were all 3 people doing? You know what it was. What were they all doing? staring at their phones. Families go out, they get on their phones. What do they do to their kids? They put their kids on devices. I'm sorry, that's not good parenting advice, may I say? You're not teaching your children to obey because you put them in front of a screen just to keep them quiet. Teach them how to listen. I know it takes work and it's easier to put a device on. That's not parenting. That's free, though. Look up at people. People walk across the crosswalks doing this. Across, you know, across a parking lot. I'm like, please look up. Save yourself. Oh, my. See the need of the world. We've got to look up. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. For they're white already to harvest. Now, not everyone is getting ready to be saved, those that are lost. There's a lot of people that are saved out there too, praise the Lord. But there's a lot of people that are, they may not be ready to say yes at any moment, but ask. Give them a track. Be a witness. See the need of the world. Matthew chapter 9, I'll read the verses here. Verse number 36. This is speaking of Jesus, says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Many times the multitudes annoyed the disciples, didn't they? Tell them to go get some food somewhere else. They're just coming here to get something from you, Lord. But Jesus was moved with compassion. They were sheep having no shepherd, it says. Then saith he to the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He says, look up, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He says, pray that he'll send more laborers, but you need to go as well. Do you see the need around you that there's souls going into eternity? Have you ever stopped to ask that neighbor, that relative, that friend, do you know for sure where you will spend eternity? Do you know 100% sure that heaven will be your home? Stop and ask them. See the need of the world. Number three, see the salvation that you have. See the salvation that you have. The Bible talks about this. One of my greatest, our favorite terms about salvation is a gift of God. Amen? You love gifts? If someone came to you and said, I have a gift for you. You're like, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you. That's great. We were talking this morning, and Charlotte's birthday is next week. And so they're like, how many days until my birthday? And then Caroline, how many days till my birthday? How many days till your birthday? And I don't know why I looked up, when's my half birthday? You would appreciate this, Miss Brianna. She loves the half birthday thing. And I looked it up, yesterday was my half birthday. And no one celebrated my half birthday yesterday. It's okay, I'll forget about it tomorrow. But a gift. Everyone loves a gift. Salvation's the greatest gift anyone will ever receive. Of greater value that of anything you'll ever have. It's the greatest gift that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. That he gives to us eternal life when we simply by faith call out to him and we receive that gift. If it was said today that anyone that if someone came to you and said, I want to give you $1 million, just give it to you. No strings attached. First of all, there's always strings attached, all right? For sake of the illustration, okay? Said, I want to give you $1 million, and here it is for you. He said, great. And they said, and anyone that you go and tell, and they came and ask, I'll give them $1 million as well. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd go and tell a few people, wouldn't you? I'd say, man, you know, great. Praise the Lord. All right, the love of money is the root of all evil, but you got to pay your bills somehow. And so I'd go and tell someone. How selfish would you be to keep it to yourself? Say, I don't want to tell anyone about this great gift. Let's put it in maybe a more real terminology. One of the greatest hurts of our generations is cancer. Someone said, well, I've got a cure for cancer, that it could cure any kind of cancer. And how grateful would you be to share that with someone? I can imagine you'd go through the hospitals and you'd go all around telling, I have the cure. It actually works. And you go and tell everyone, I have the cure. How selfish would you be to keep it to yourself? That you have something that could save somebody's life? Greater than $1 million, greater than the cure for cancer even, is telling someone how they could have a home in heaven for all eternity. See, $1 million eventually will run out. That cure for cancer, well, eventually that person will go into eternity at some point. But if you're saved and you're a child of God and you have eternal life that will never go away, eternal life in heaven, how can you imagine keeping that one to yourself? Say, I don't want to tell anyone because I'm shy. You have the gift. You have the truth. Tell someone. See the salvation that you have. And then lastly is this, see the miracle of a soul saved. Have you ever personally been able to open your Bible, take a gospel tract, share your testimony, and say, could I tell you how to know for sure, according to the Word of God, how the heaven will be your home? Have you ever personally got to sit with someone, to talk with them, and to go through the plan of salvation and tell them how they can be saved? And you go through that plan of salvation with them and you tell them how to be saved, and you get to the end and you say, would you like to be saved right now? And they say, yes, I would. And they bow their head and they close their eyes, and the best that they know how, by faith, they say, dear Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I believe that you're the only way to heaven. Forgive my sin and take me to heaven when I die. Amen. And you get to be a part of a miracle of seeing a soul saved from hell and go into heaven. The Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Every time a soul gets saved, there's a party and they're shouting in heaven. Better than any Super Bowl celebration is when a soul gets saved in heaven. And you get to be a part of that miracle. Have you been able to share that miracle with someone lately? And you get to be a part of that incredible gift of seeing a soul saved. Remember this, we don't save anyone. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, some plant and some water, but God gives the increase. Again, that harvesting principle. Some plant, and they're saying, can I give you a gospel tract? And they're planting the seed. Can I share a verse with you? They plant the seed. Maybe the next person says, can I share my testimony with you? Do you know that you're saved? Maybe they said, I'm not ready here, I'm not ready here, I'm not ready here. But eventually, they say, I'm ready to get saved. I'm ready. Some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Now, it doesn't matter what part you are along the line, right? It doesn't matter. As long as you get to be a part of that for somebody. Maybe God's put someone on your heart this morning and say, I need to pray for them again. I need to pick up the phone and call them again. I need to go knock on that door again and ask them if they know that they're saved. Because maybe they're ready. You know how God works in people's hearts? You notice that? They weren't ready last week, but they were ready this week. There was a man in our church many years ago. Pastor Johnson tells a story. I went to go do a hospital. I think I did a house visit with him, with this couple, and then went to go do a hospital visit. And I forget his first name. His last name is Brother Heiler. And his wife came here for years, and we did a house visit with him, and he did not want anything to do with church. He wanted nothing to do with the Bible, Christianity. I didn't want to hear about how to be saved, but he liked to golf. And so Pastor Johnson, remember, he talked to him a good bit about golfing, and we chatted with him for a while. He didn't want to hear how to be saved. He went in the hospital and went to visit with him, and he had the news that he had brain cancer, and he wasn't going to live very long. And it was pretty dire conditions. And we went there, and we talked with him for a minute, and Pastor Johnson said, would you mind stepping out for a minute? So myself and his wife stepped out, and he looked at him and said, what do you think? Are you ready now? And he said, yes, I am. I don't wish you know, anyone to take a cancer. But if that's what pointed him to the gospel, if that's what opened his heart for all eternity to have a home in heaven, then praise the Lord that there's something that came by his way to soften his heart to the gospel, and he trusted in Christ as his Savior. And he prayed and got saved that day. He came to church for a few months, and it was not long before he went into eternity. But he went into eternity a saved man, not a lost man. Amen? What a miracle. God's working on people's hearts. They might have said no last time, but maybe God's working on their heart, and this time is a yes. Be that gospel witness. I want to briefly go through this with you, but get a gospel tract with you. I have a few here in my Bible. Keep them with you everywhere that you go. On the back, it invites people to Shasta Baptist Church. Coming to Shasta Baptist Church does not save a single soul. That's not the main purpose of why we pass these out. The main purpose is on the back, and it's the Bible way to heaven. Say, do you know for sure that if you died today, that heaven will be your home? Say, well, I'm not really sure, or I think so. Say, would you look on the back? Here's the Bible, way to heaven. Here's what God says. There's a lot of false truths, or I should say lies about how to go to heaven. Here's the truth from the Word of God. You must know that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, there's a punishment for sin. The wages of sin is death. Separation from God for eternity in a place called hell. Number three, Jesus died to pay your punishment and mine on the cross of Calvary. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He went in the grave for 3 days, and he rose again to pay the full payment of salvation. No works needed. And then you simply trust in Jesus alone. Ask him to come into your heart and save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simply use the Word of God. Get a track with you. Use your testimony. Be praying for souls. Be looking for souls. Why? They're all around you. This week, I want to encourage you. Take 5 gospel tracts. Just 5. Pass them out this week to somebody. Whether you leave it on a door, whether you give it to the cashier, whether you mail it to someone or take a picture, whatever you do with it, take 5 and pass them out this week. And pray that God gives you the opportunity to witness to at least one person. Take the gospel track and read through it. Take a heaven track, read through those, and get some understanding of the Word of God and how you could better be a witness. We're the watchmen. Eternity is coming. Be a witness to someone.